This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
This is CliffCentral.com. It is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle and Tamar. This is Unradio. This is Unscripted. And this is all the way uncensored from Kenya with my friend Gertrude Mungai. Good morning, Gertrude. Good
morning, John T.
It's so cool to talk to you.
Yes, after so many years.
Yes.
I'm glad I found you again.
Good. So we met at Sexpo a few years ago. And then we were going to do all sorts of things in Kenya together, and we didn't. And I'd love to come there and teach, Gertrude. So I'm still waiting for that
one.
Give
it like a couple of months. Like, we are people, going through some political stuff.
Oh, yeah. That's always something. Yeah. How people? Do you think people are ready for Janti?
They should be ready. Not everyone, a specific crowd of people.
That's usually how it goes.
Okay. Now, you're a sexologist practicing in Kenya.
Yes.
Okay. What do you do there as a sexologist?
Okay. My title is Lifestyle Designer on Sex and Relationships.
That's a pretty cool title, Lifestyle Designer. I like that. Okay. So what does that mean exactly?
Because I believe I do something unique.
Yeah.
Okay. I take care of your intimate needs.
Mm-hmm.
I give advice on sex and relationships.
Okay.
I prepare brides for marriage. I talk to old couples in case they want to spice it up. I even talk to younger girls, a different version, not to teach them how to spice it up, but more to answer all their sexual questions, which their mothers, teachers, and pastors are not able to.
Yeah. Okay. What is the state of sex education in Kenya? Are people getting sex education in school?
Unfortunately, no. The parents are not open to having that kind of those kind of lessons in school.
Okay.
And they don't teach them themselves in the houses, and neither do they want the pastors in churches to do it.
Yeah.
So we actually kind of having a crisis because there's a gap. All these kids are growing up discovering things because internet is big here.
Mm.
Every other kid has a smartphone, so they have access to the internet. Yet nobody seems to want to tackle those kind of issues.
Okay.
So there's a gap, a big gap.
Yeah. And I'm sure the results of that must be quite hectic in society. Things like STIs, teenage pregnancies, things like that. Is that prevalent or not?
It is prevalent. In fact, I was just reading an article the other day where our Chief Justice says in prison we have very many young offenders between 20 and 22 years old. And they are there for most cases defiling children or raping women, even as old as their grandmothers. You can imagine 20 to 22.
Wow. So
they're barely starting their.
So there's almost no sex education in the society.
Not much, not structured. There are no intentions, you know, like you get some scanty sex information here and there.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on TV and radio for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But there's so many people who feel like I shouldn't be on TV or radio because of what I do.
Okay. And is this because they want to keep everything very conservative and shut down?
Yes.
Wow.
Even Gertrude, even mother to daughter, you know, there's many different African countries that there's an amazing and very rich knowledge that actually is passed from, you know, some wise women that are actually passing on knowledge to each other and to youngsters when it's time, you know, when the girl is getting her period or when before she gets married, there's actually almost sex schools. Is it something like that doesn't exist in Kenya?
Okay, it does exist. Like the community where I come from, I would say actually the tribe or the area where I come from, it's the norm.
Okay.
When you get your first period, they start easy you know, teaching you like how to put on a pad, you know, indirectly. So in my community, I went through that. And even just before I got married, my people, ladies are required to go underground so they can polish up on their skills, mm-hmm. bedroom skills, cooking skills. They literally teach you how to be a perfect homemaker.
Okay.
And they concentrate on sex. My community, which is the Mijikenda community, which is in the coastal part of the country. But most other communities, they used to do it a long time ago, but they've lost that.
Okay.
And that's why, it's because I came from the coast. When I came to the city, Nairobi, I didn't realize how much people didn't have information. And that's why I started doing what I'm doing.
So there's a big gap between the rural and urban areas.
Not really rural and urban, it's coastal and upcountry.
Okay.
That's how we call it in Kenya.
Okay.
Yes.
Wow. So when you say...
I've started a program.
Yeah?
Sorry. I've started a program where I call it mentor-mentee. Every woman needs an older woman. Because so many marriages are breaking right now because the young ladies who are getting married, most of them have no idea what they're getting themselves into. They make a lot of mistakes. You find people dating for 6 years, getting married and divorcing in 3 years.
Yeah.
So something is going wrong somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to fill in the gap. There are a few people, although people, churches are also opening up. You find so many pastors' wives who have taken up the opportunity to teach. So we have premarital counseling in churches, and some churches will give premarital counseling without talking much about sex, just brushing through the sex bit.
Okay. So yes. When you say that women are and that you are preparing them and they're getting this program to be perfect wives, what is the sexual and relationship component of that? What are they learning about sex in that?
Okay, in my sessions, when I do bridal shower, I go deep in sex. We even have demonstrations. You know, we talk about hygiene, especially vaginal care. Mm-hmm. We talk about so many things. We talk about finances. But you see, that's only 2-3 hours. It's not enough. So some of the brides look for me later on. And yeah. I also have events, like the one I was supposed to invite you to come and talk to the people. But there's some people who never come for that because they think sex is evil. And these are married people.
Yeah.
They think, you know, we'll figure it out. They don't realize it's all about tricks and techniques, and you have to learn some of those tricks and techniques.
Mm.
So in my bridal showers, I go all the way. I even have this thing I teach ladies on how to be a one-stop shop to their husbands. They have to be a wife, a lover, and for lack of a better one, a nice little whore. You have to be a one-stop shop if you want to enjoy. Before, sex was supposed to be for the men. Mm. Things have changed now.
Mm.
Women want to enjoy their multiple orgasms.
Mm.
Yeah. So
being one of them.
Is there a big difference between the way that men and women see sex?
Yes. There's a very big difference depending on which community you come from.
Yeah.
Some see it as an obligation, you know, what you're supposed to have just before you go to bed for your husband. Others are taking matters into their own hands. But because of the exposure when it comes to internet and stuff, we are a little bit hit, but not as bad as South Africa, with toys.
Mm-hmm.
So most of my sessions, I have women who are addicted to toys. They try to get out of it. The husband can't satisfy them anymore because they have overexposed themselves. The husband has busted the wife in the bathroom after they've had sex, and she's using something on Energizer battery. So there's that whole big mess.
Okay.
We are not as open and advanced. An expo like the sex expo, the one we met,
yes,
will never ever take place in Kenya.
Are sex toys legal in Kenya?
There's not really much rule or law, there's nothing which has been written about the,
okay,
you know, the sex toys, but you will not find them being displayed on shelves, whatever it is. But I know there's so many people selling them here.
Are you being compromised, or is your safety what people do or say about you, thanks to what you do? Do you feel like an outsider? Do you feel welcome? How does it to be a designer for sex and relationships in Kenya?
Okay, at the beginning, it was really rough. I remember when they first wrote my article on the national newspaper, I was kindly asked to vacate my office premises. I lost my office. I was nicely, in a Christian way, kicked out of a church. There were some people who not let their kids play with mine.
Wow.
So it was a bit rough at the beginning because I think many people knew what I was doing until I went on TV. So the TV kind of demystified who I am and what I stand for.
Okay.
And now more and more people know I'm a sex therapist, but I'm also a Christian. So my biggest clients right now are churches. In fact, next Saturday, the 15th, 14th, 15th, 17th, I'll be having a big convention somewhere in Narok. This is rural Maasai land,
yeah,
where I'm sharing platform with about four pastors. I'm the only sex therapist. So things have changed. I've not had any bad incidents other than one or few people who have their own issues. So I would say right now the reception is a bit better, not like from the beginning. So, and every other person, if you come to Nairobi, every other person in Nairobi knows who I am, what I do.
Okay.
In India, most people know who I am. If they don't recognize the face, they'll recognize the voice because I also do radio.
I think that's fantastic that, the churches are recognizing this. I remember a little while ago being approached by a Christian community, and a lot of the marriages in their community were in trouble. And the pastor actually came to understand that he didn't really know enough to be able to help them. So they approached me and they bought the whole range of DVDs that we have and things, and it made such a difference to their relationships. But unfortunately in South Africa, that's the rarity rather than the norm. And I think for a lot of the Christian churches, the judgment from, the churches is still enormous on, sexuality and people enjoying their sexuality.
Been to one of the one of the churches in South Africa. I've been there a couple of times to give to sex and relationships.
Yeah.
And the rest are just private events. So, but you guys are a little bit more open-minded than we are here. And I think we are lying to us. If you think marriage is going to survive with substandard sex, I don't think it is. In fact, on my TV shows, I don't call sex sex.
How do you call it? Is it a union, a sacred union?
So I've come up with code names, which is better to the ear. So I call vagina Miss Victoria's. I call the penis Mr. Victor. And then where I come from, it's supposed to be a holiday spot. If you want to relax and have a good time, you go to Mombasa. So I call sex Mombasa Raha.
Okay.
Raha means happiness, you know. So that's what I call sex. And people meet me in the streets and they'll say, oh, that's Mama Mombasa Raha. It means that's the lady who teaches about Mombasa Raha without feeling embarrassed or ashamed.
Yeah.
I have older men as old as my father coming to my office with a sexual problem. But there could be a child seated nearby and they will have no idea what we're discussing. Because we talk about Mombasa Raha, we talk about my Mr. Victor. Okay, erection, you know, I gave it a code name, you know, like kuchemsha muhogo, that's a Swahili word, which means a hard cassava. So that has actually helped. So many people are coming to me. I have private sessions. I mediate between husband and wives. And because of that, I have been accepted. Even corporates are calling me now for the end of year party or for their retreats. So I had to change, and that's why I gave myself the name Lifestyle Designer on Sex and Relationships. I didn't really have to call myself a sex therapist or a sexologist, although media branded me sexologist.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, the media does a lot of interesting things like that.
Yeah.
I found a way of making it work with whatever it is happening in my country.
Very, very interesting.
Yeah, I have two responses to that. The first one is I totally get it. And if it's going to make people feel easier and allow them to talk about things, then absolutely. And the other part of me says, you know, we need to be really honest and open about this. And I think I'd go to the place of rather being able to have the conversations in whatever way we can than not have them at all. So that definitely.
Yes. We are getting in Kenya, we are getting there, but if I want to still exist, that's the way it has to be done for now. But if I look back, I've been doing this for 12 years now. If I look back at the beginning and where we are at right now, things have changed. Mm. Even to have churches calling me, things have really, really changed. And I believe we are still going to evolve. And soon we will have these kind of discussions where a mother is not embarrassed to talk to the daughter, where a father is not embarrassed to talk to the son. So a few churches have a few programs doing that.
Cool.
And a few other therapists do the same thing. But as far as I'm concerned, it's not enough.
Mm.
A lot needs to be done,
yeah.
Especially when it comes to marriage. Because I'm an ambassador for marriage, and not just any marriage. Mm. I always tell people marriages are not supposed to be endured. They're supposed to be enjoyed. Mm. You don't enjoy marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And many times that's where we are at.
And Gertrude, where can people actually study sex therapy or couple therapy or anything like that in the country?
Come again?
I was just asking regarding education. Let's say more people want to be like you. They want to educate young people. They want to go and study it. Is there a mm-hmm. place in Kenya that actually allows to study couple therapy, sex therapy?
I don't think. It's not openly practiced. And when it comes to my TV show, you can't have the TV before 10 o'clock because they believe children as a supposed to be protected from the harmful materials on TV and radio, you know. So you can only broadcast my kind of a show after 10 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I know for a fact sex education is not being done in schools. I know for a fact, like in my church, they have this thing of which is called rite of passage. And kids, when they're transiting from primary school to high school, they go for certain, but a few, it's just like under 1% in the country of the children go through that program. So, yeah, a lot needs to be done, but at the moment, nothing, it's not enough.
Yeah. You've spoken about the that you're working a lot with young girls and young women. What's happening with the young men there and the boys? Are they getting the same kind of education? Does something exist for that?
There's a friend of mine who is a pastor. He has a program which is called Boys. He has Boys to Men, and he has another program for older men who are already married. He called them Man Enough. It's a very intensive program, one of the best programs I've ever seen. So he's trying to do that. Personally, I don't think I can teach a man how to be a man because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
So only a man can teach a man how to be a man. But it doesn't mean that I don't do sessions for men. I do. I even do stag parties.
Okay.
You know, where I ban alcohol and stuff. You can imagine me, the group of men talking about sex and demonstrating, and they are on booze. I can be disastrous. So well-vented groups, I talk to the men.
Yeah.
But this guy, I'm telling you, his name is Pastor Mbevi. Pastor Mbevi has those programs, and I think he's doing a very good job. We've shared that platform a number of times. Other than him, I don't know any other person. So he's done this program, which is being replicated in many churches. So every church runs the program independently. In fact, my husband is one of the facilitators in my church.
Yeah, listen, I've walked out of events where people have asked me to come and talk, especially private events, and there's been a lot of alcohol. And it just gets so raucous sometimes that I've actually said, thank you very much. If you're not going to listen, I'm leaving, and I've left. So, yeah.
There's nothing you can teach if people are high.
No,
so
no,
even
no.
In some bridal showers, sometimes the bride gets so wasted. So I've made it a rule to tell bridal shower organizers not to have alcohol until when I'm gone. So I go there, do my thing, then I leave. Mm. Then they can continue partying.
Yeah.
So yeah, I the same thing.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Wowee. So that's really fascinating. So with all this access to internet, does that mean that a lot of the sex education is coming from sources like porn?
Unfortunately, we have full-grown men who are addicted to porn.
Mm.
They will never perform with their wives because of porn. We have women who are also addicted to porn. Worst is we have kids who have a lot of access to porn.
Mm.
So, yes, that's a big problem. Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember that we spoke about this once before. And does it still exist, mm-hmm. the fact that a man will go and have all sorts of sexual experiences with another woman, with a girlfriend or with a prostitute, rather than doing that with their wives?
Yes, we still have that. A few men believe that's how it is. And that's why I have this program where I teach women, like I said earlier on, how to be a one-stop shop. Mm. You're his wife because you are his wife. And then his lover. So you can continue the dating stuff, what you used to do before you got married. And then his whore, you take it to a different level. Mm. You know, personally, I have a stripper pole in my house. You know, you call them the tantric chairs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I call it Kama Sutra chair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is just the extra naughtiness into our bedroom as wives. I'm on a mission to make sure the wife enjoys and the husband doesn't feel the need to get a prostitute because there's some things they do the wife can't. Mm. Actually, I've been doing that for years. It's one of the things I did from the beginning, over 12 years ago. And so far, so good. But you have women who said, why would I want to be a whore to him?
Mm.
They believe there's some things she can do with the husband and other things she can't do because she thinks she's either decent and the worst I've heard is I'm a Christian, I can't do that. And I keep asking people, show me the Christian version of sex,
yep.
or the sex version of Christian. So we have a few people who are not open enough to do that. Yet we have men whose wife is doing everything she can and she still goes out.
Mm.
So I think for some people, it's their school of thought. They believe one woman cannot satisfy a man. They need two, three, or four out there. So
Listen,
that challenge is real.
That's about the people, full stop, because that's around the world. And people go and have affairs and cheat and do whatever it is that they do. And that's often not about their marriage. That's about them. That's about an issue with inside themselves that they haven't dealt with yet, rather than it being about in their marriage, because that's endemic around the world today. There's no question of that. What are divorce rates in Kenya like? Are they really high?
Sorry?
Divorce rates there, are they really high?
Not compared to South Africa. We have divorces, and of late, we have divorces among older couples, you know. And my research tells me there's been problem for years. The lady decided to stick around until the kids leave the home. Then she leaves. So I've discovered women leave, then leave. They leave emotionally and then they leave physically later on.
So emotionally they left a long time before.
Yes. You have, after the last born of the family has been married off or he's gotten married, a couple of years later, you see the wife filing for a divorce or leaving the man. And the man is shocked, as in, whoa, what's going on? I thought we had a good marriage. And she says, no, you had a good marriage. I was just not tithing, and now it's time for me to go. So there's all that. And that is what I'm trying to change. Because you also have this thing of their problems in the home. You sweep the problem under the carpet. You don't address them. I'm trying to get men and women who are in a marriage to open up and talk about their problem. There's also this thing of tiptoeing around the problem without actually, because some community teach women to keep quiet. You know, it's not feminine or not ladylike to keep quarreling or to keep telling, pointing out his fault. And that is what is killing our marriages. So for me, I've taken it upon myself to make sure both men and women are enjoying the marriage and everybody gets what they're supposed to get in the marriage. Because in our Kenyan society, if not African society, the wife is the one we're supposed to handle or carry. In fact, they even say the wife is the one who is who holds the marriage together. I mean, she's only one person and this marriage two people. So I believe both have to pull their weight. So those are some of the things we are trying to fight here.
Is there still an expectation of a very traditional role of women?
Yes, absolutely.
That they're more subservient, that they're there to serve.
Mm-hmm.
Is that still happening?
And And now it's bringing a conflict because the young ladies now are really exposed. Some of them went to school abroad and then they come back with their degrees. And now here you are, you're telling her to be a doormat, to just be a homemaker. So there's a very, very big conflict. So in fact, I'm working on my show right now, another TV show, because all these other shows, it was owned by the K24 TV stations I was working for. But now I'm doing my own shows and I call them Back to Basics, the modern African way, because things have changed. We have evolved. Not everything about Africa is bad, okay? But there are some things we need to get rid of, like the female, the whatever, female circumcision, you know, the things like the dowry, things like wife inheritance. Those are things we need to stop. But then there's so many other beautiful things Africans have to offer. So there's that conflict where you're exposed, you're brought up in the city, and then you get married. Your husband is supposed, is expecting you to act as a village girl. So there's a very big conflict. And that's why we also have very many young marriages breaking.
So is there a really big difference between the rural and urban areas in this expectation?
Yes, there are. Even just within Kenya, you know, and we're not as big as South Africa, there's a big difference from the girls who are brought up in the rural area and the ones who grew up in the city. And you see, Kenya, we have supposed to have three cities, but the biggest, the capital city is Nairobi. Then we have Mombasa, where I come from. It was also made a city. And then we have Kisumu, which is a city. But the lifestyles is very, very different. In the rural area, we still have young ladies who believe if your husband doesn't beat you up, he doesn't love you enough. So you can imagine how have to convince this lady that if your husband beats you up, you need to take him to jail. So we have a lot of couples, man killing wife, wife killing. Okay, it's a lot of man killing wife and then wife chopping off the private parts of a man. Those are times we had a huge crisis.
Wow.
You know, because of all this.
That's really hectic. Wow.
I'm guessing when you get to situations of extreme frustration.
You sleep with your genital intact, you wake up, you have none.
Yeah, well, you wake up before you realize. You wake up because you realize. But
and I just want to ask something about what you've said there. When a man does really assault his wife, even to the point of killing her, is that, what are the legal implications of that? I mean, are men charged with that? Is it accepted? Is it allowed on some level?
Absolutely, it's not accepted. We have so many people who are incarcerated because of that.
Yeah,
it's, and it goes both ways, both man or woman. You know, it's not acceptable. We have a lot of wife battery. We have that, and it's an offense. So we have so many people who are charged for that. But and then there's so many organizations who have come up, and they're trying to sensitize. You know, and we even have in some rural areas, we have fathers marrying off their younger daughters to older men, you know, so before they're even of age, you can even have a 15-year-old, 16-year being married off to a 60, 50, 70-year-old because the family needs money. Even that now is an offense. You're legally an adult in Kenya when you're 18.
So from a legal point of view and a constitutional point of view, they're really trying to make it much safer for women.
Yes, and Kenya is doing a very good job when it comes to that.
Okay. You know, even and they're following through on it, regardless that it's just in the constitution. They're actually following through on it.
They are. They are doing a very good job.
Okay, that's fantastic because it's not so much the case here sometimes, unfortunately.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, I noticed that women are really empowered in South Africa. In fact, if you ask me, I think more women are beating the men up. But we are getting there.
No, you know, Jonty was actually just mentioning that here there is unbelievable empowerment, but there's also when it comes to, you know, to really prosecute men that actually you know, they are facing charges of woman abuse or, you know, killing their wives or lovers. There's not much that has been followed through. So that's actually the next step is to look how you, it's not enough to say, yeah, it's in the law. You have to endorse it. You have to really, you have to fight for it. It has to be and something that you actually have to almost have a correction also. It's it's like a correctional discrimination. Like you have to discriminate maybe the wives that are chopping the Mr. Victor and maybe endorsing, you know, giving a little bit more hard time to the men, because the numbers are crazy. The numbers are not even. There are much more men abusing women and children than men.
If you beat your wife and she reports, you will go in. You know, if you harm, she just needs to have proof. So the hardest thing here to prove, because we also have rape in marriages. I didn't think it existed until I met a lady who had been sodomized by her own husband. So that is the hardest case to prove. You know, rape in marriage. But the rest, they are clear cut. You just need to show up at the police station. They will process your case and the guy will definitely go in.
What do you think it is inside men that causes them to do that, to behave like that, with that kind of violence towards women, that level of abuse? What do you think it is, Gertrude?
Sometimes it's a vicious circle. They saw the grandfather beat the grandmother. The father beat the mom. So it's only... normal for him to beat his wife.
So it's a learned pattern.
And then the son is so pissed up. And sometimes they're just frustrated because life is kind of hard in Kenya right now. Businesses are going down. People are being laid off. So frustrations. He's not able to take care of his family. So he takes it out on her. So there are different reasons. And some just are wife beaters. You know, they don't need a very, very good reason. Some believe, we have communities in Kenya where they believe the wife is like your child, you know, or to some, like part of the furniture.
It's like
you
a possession. You own her. She's a possession.
Yes.
Yeah. How much
you do
does,
whatever you want.
How much does alcohol play a part in this, Gertrude?
That too. We have one of the counties, because we used to call them provinces, but now they're called counties. We have one of the counties where you rarely see a child. Every man drinks themselves to impotency. Wow. So apparently there's only one guy who went around servicing all the women. So even
I hope his DNA is good.
Saying, if you see any woman carrying a child, it's my husband who fathered the child.
Oh, wow.
So it was a crisis. It was a very, very big crisis. But the whole of that county, most of that county, the men are affected with alcohol.
And we did
there's a campaign, which is why, and this is local brews. This is not the high tech. Yeah, the local brews, which are more lethal. Yeah, we are very good at making our own local concoctions here. You know, drink and your Mr. Gita will never say attention.
we did a show. We did a show a while ago with an informal settlement where somebody had created a free app for women to report incidents of abuse and violence. And when these people went into the community and researched it, alcohol was involved in nine out of 10 of these cases. Was alcohol exacerbated? It made it worse.
Yeah, that's the stats. The stats are horrific when it comes to abuse, violence, and of course, sexual abuse as well. But in a more positive note, Gertrude, what is your new TV series is going to be like? What are you dealing with? What is interesting? Tell us about it.
Okay, my TV series is going to be about spicing up mostly. I'll be tackling the hard, tough questions like the violence in homes. But I choose to bring fun back into the homes, you know, because we have this thing called Vision 2030, where Kenya is going to be in 2030. And none of that has anything to do with family. And we are having a lot of problems even in with our politicians. And I think the problem begins at home, how they're brought up, you know, and now they're making the worst or lousy politicians, and they're not keeping their promises. So for me, it's more to bring to reunite the family, to have children grow up in a healthy homes, you know, to have parents being the first teachers in the home. As we speak, my husband and I are homeschooling our kids because we didn't like what was going on in public and private schools. So we have decided to purpose to be parents and to teach our kids. We are the first teachers, you know. So I want to bring that unity, you know, like I say, I call it back to basics, the modern African way, to bring back the goodness
Yeah, so it's to really to bring the beauty.
I learned a lot from my grandmother.
Yeah, and really, it does start at home, you know.
And also to have, yes.
And it really does start
so
at home.
So those are some of the things, because it does start at home.
Yeah, with
and like there's this thing in Kenya also, people too negative about marriages. So we have younger women opting not to get married, instead to accessorize the children. So we have so many adoptions going around, or somebody says, I'm 30, no husband in the horizon, so I'm just going to get myself, you know, design a baby,
yeah.
Make a deal with a man with good genes, and I will have a child, you know. And I think that's not right. You know, it's, women feel liberated, they can do that. But as far as I'm concerned, because when it comes to those things, I'm very conservative. As far as I'm concerned, a child needs a lot more than you paying their bills. They need that family unit. And I'm not looking down upon single mothers. I know there are few, they're doing a very, very good job, and even single fathers. But I believe if the child had an option, they would want to have a mom and a dad.
Yeah,
absolutely. Wow, it's a really fascinating country, the dynamics. And,
you will love it.
And, you know, some parallels between here and there, and others that are obviously totally unique, the issues.
Yes.
Gertrude, do you also do some Skype counseling, people from outside Kenya? Do you do an online course? Because I'm sure so many people would like to learn from you and to be exposed to your content. How is it going to unfold?
I'm working with somebody right now to try and package my information so I can have an online course. But in the meantime, I actually travel. Like I've been to SA a lot. Sorry, Jonty, every time I come there, I don't look for you.
Now
that's very nice. Thank you very much indeed. That's so appreciated.
Yeah.
She's too busy.
Okay, so you are never too busy for your friends.
So yeah, I travel the country. I'm always called for events, and but the online course, I think it's about time. I'm working on it right now.
That would be cool.
At the end of this, I'm going to tell you something about a new online course that I have developed.
Maybe Gertrude can learn. Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's really
And if you now women are listening to you, women in Kenya, because you know the cool thing about Cliff Central, you can listen from anywhere in the world. So people are listening to you now in Australia, London, wherever it is. And if other women are listening now, what are going to, like in African countries or in Kenya, what are the 5 golden nuggets that you can give to women to maybe start looking at themselves differently, looking at their genitals differently, at their sexuality?
Okay, because I lean more on marriage, and like I said, I'm a bit conservative when it comes to that. I know Jonty doesn't agree with me.
We love really, people that are married as well.
I think marriage is the way to go. And research says married people live longer. Okay, I'm kind of biased when it comes to that. Yeah. You know, and it's supposed to be enjoyed, you know, and everybody in the marriage should pull their weight. They should not leave the responsibility to the women. You know, it's those days of the woman is the homemaker. The man is the one who goes to bring the bacon, and the woman is the one who cooks it. We all go out there to bring home the bacon, you know. And then when it comes to parenting, it's both men and women, the mother and the father. Again, a lot of people leave that responsibility to the mother. Okay, and then the other thing is, it's all about review, because every time we go into marriage, we go with our A game.
Yeah.
Like for me, that hit me like in the third month of my marriage. So I had to review. It's all about reviewing. If it's working, stay on it. If it doesn't, change, you know. So there's plan A, B, C, up to Z, Z being a divorce, because again, I also don't believe in divorce unless it's life-threatening.
Yes.
Okay, so that being a divorce, there's all these alphabets in between for you to try. Don't just give up. A lot of people are giving out, you know, for selfish reason. Because right now, when it comes to my marriage, I have 2 sons, a 19-year-old and a 15-year. It's not just about me. Okay, so I'm going to fight for my happiness. Okay, hopefully not too hard, because in my marriage, and I'm giving this a personal example, my husband is in this marriage to make me happy, and I'm in the marriage to make him happy. So everybody has something to make them happy, you know? And what else? Something has evaporated.
How do you help a woman to really identify
a
young
concept? Like on my radio show yesterday, we were discussing about house husbands. It's not even biblical. Where did that come from? When did things change that much to a point where the husband is the one staying home? They lose their dignity. They lack respect for each other. And even the wife doesn't respect. I don't see anybody having multiple orgasms in that kind of a situation. And for me, I'm all for that. Big O's. You know,
How much do you think sexual happiness
is killing?
How much do you think sexual fulfillment is linked to relationship happiness?
A lot of it. I can't really say a lot of it. You know, this is how I normally call a marriage. Like a big family size pizza. People use pies, but I love pizzas.
Yeah.
And a family size pizza here
we
in
like
Kenya
pizza
has eight
too.
Pieces. Sex is an eighth, but so huge it can make or break a marriage.
Mm.
What happens is if sex is not working, you know, small things are magnified, they're made to be big. But if sex is working, even the huge things are reduced to something which you can handle. It's not everything in a marriage, but it plays a major role and makes you younger.
Gertrude, where do people find you online? Do you have a website?
I have a blog, Gertrude Mungai. I have a Facebook page, two of them, fan page and a personal page. Again, Gertrude Mungai. Mm. And I'm also on Instagram, also on Twitter, but not too active.
Yeah, cool.
I'm
because I think it's
place.
Nice to read your blog. Do you write in English? Do you write in Swahili? Which languages do you write in?
English.
In English.
In English. It's only my radio show, which is in Swahili.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else is in English.
Okay. And do you find it maybe one day that all your content is going to be today, translation becomes easier and easier. Would you consider maybe also translating your blog to different languages? I guess the silence says it all.
Mm. Hello?
Hello, yeah, we lost you for
Sorry.
A second. Yeah, hi.
Call.
Let's start again. Now you got a
Hello?
Call. Well, we are more important. So,
yeah.
So okay, so you say that in Swahili people can but is it a TV online internet or only in Kenya
yeah,
you can watch it?
Sorry?
Just to know where if you can watch some of the content that you have online. From the video point of view.
I have a lot of content online. I have over 200 TV shows by K24 on YouTube. Actually have had like two media houses from Germany and from coming to do a documentary on me. So all that information is on the net.
Awesome. That is so nice because in the end of the day, you want to change as many people's lives. You want to reach as many people as possible.
Why is this so important to you to do this, Gertrude? Why is this work important to you?
My work is very important to me because, like I said, I stand for marriage. I didn't really come from a marriage. Neither did I come from a broken home. There was really no home to be broken. I came from a family where my mom and dad were very young themselves. So they were fooling around and then boom, I happened. I called myself a boom child. So, and then they grew up, they both got married to other people. And so they were too young to bring me up. So I was brought up by my grandmother because I think every time my mom saw me, she saw the pain inflicted by my dad. So we really didn't cope. And I didn't understand why a mother can hate their own child so much around that time. Now I do. So I was brought up by my grandmother and in a very modest home. My dad has always been well off. So you can imagine growing up. Visiting my dad, he's too busy with his legit kids. Visiting my mom, she's too busy with her legit kids. So it was not an interesting life, but it wasn't so bad because my grandmother did her best and taught me everything I needed to learn, you know. But it was not, it wasn't as I wish I didn't have to go through that to some extent. So I didn't realize how bad it was until when I got married and then I got my own kids and I didn't know how to love them, unfortunately. And that's so sad. So my husband is the one who taught me how to love my kids. So even up to now, the kind of relationship I have with my children, I would say it's a working process. You know, I try to be very open-minded, and I also have an older woman who's working with me, like she's in my life and she's in my family life. So I'm not really complaining. And for people who are listening, I hope they don't feel like I had a terrible life. No, I didn't have a terrible life, but it could have been better. And that's why I'm really against ladies accessorizing with children. You know, I wish you wouldn't. I don't know what reason you have, whether you're feeling lonely, but these are people you're bringing into the world. Mm. So I grew up feeling like I'm second class, you know, I'm a by the way, you know, not the way you have your kids and you live your life for them, which is still very wrong. But though somebody was willing to sacrifice for you, I didn't feel like though somebody, I felt like I was always being given the leftovers, you know. So I'm very, very passionate about the family unit. Okay, I think we are losing it. If I have anything to do with it, I'll make sure we don't lose the family unit, you know. And being a Christian, you don't just let it roll. You purpose to be a parent, you purpose to teach your kids, you know, you purpose to be happy in your marriage. And, you know, yeah, so I hope I'm making sense.
You are making sense, yeah. And it resonates with me at least. So yeah. I thank you
and
very much for sharing.
The passion that you bring is beautiful. It's, we can feel it, and it's really awesome, and we really do acknowledge that. And thank you so much
thank
for sharing
you.
With us, and it'll be really cool to share, you know, platforms with you in the future. And thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's so good to reconnect with you. I kept your number for what, like 7 years?
That is so cool. 7 years it takes in the Bible.
Oh my goodness.
So Gertrude, the cool thing about us, you take the link of this show. We would love to have a photo of you. Send us by email. And then you take the link and you can spread the word around, and you can just use this as another tool to just spread so much joy in people's lives.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'll definitely do that.
And you're absolutely a charm. Please, we'll follow you, and we'll see when you are in South Africa.
So there is a new program that I have created online that is really important about helping you have more pleasure, connect with your sexuality, with your sensuality, with your body, heal and clear blockages from the past. And it's about discovering and awakening and finding your own G-spot. So I wrote an article this week that will be up on our page. The link will be there. It's also on the website. And it starts like this. G-spot, O G-spot, wherefore art thou? I've sought you high, I've sought you low, I've sought you deep, I've sought you shallow. Long have my fingers quested, and even my lover has tested on this endless task. And with frustration I ask, G-spot, O G-spot, wherefore art thou?
Yeah, I don't have any, all these questions.
So many women think that they don't have a G-spot, and it's just learning where your G-spot is. How do you wake it up? Because it's there.
So much trauma is hiding as well.
And that's it. The trauma, the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment that we've lived with, negative sexual experiences, painful sexual experiences. Tissue that should be alive and awake and sensitive is numb or tender or even painful because of all the emotional issues that sit there. So I have developed an online program for you to do this on your own at home. It's not up on our website yet, but if you email me, jonty@eroslife.co.za, the information will come to you on how to get this program, and it will be up on our podcast page as well.
Absolutely. So look there for the links and Jonty's email if you need that, because it's a must.
And we wish you so much pleasure.
Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.